It's 4:05 Sunday, February 23rd,
2020, 1,130 days into the Trump administration, 254 days until the re-election of Donald J. Trump. 25% of Veterans Memorial Coliseum rallygoers didn't vote in 2016. Trump commits huge strategic error in Arizona. And thanks goes out to Mini Mike. Find out why next on the Best Hour in Radio, the Article 5 Hour. And now, from the Uptown Phoenix studios of Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX Hits Live Radio Without a Net. Welcome to the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smailis, your host. Thanks for joining us this afternoon for fact-based adult political commentary. Yes, indeed, the Trump rally at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum last Wednesday. Our president was at his best. That was one of his best rally speeches I've ever heard him give. You've heard most of the material before, but Trump is hilarious. He's also brilliant strategically, politically, and many other ways as well. He's very insightful about what you love him for. And he definitely emphasizes those things in a rally. It's a phenomenon to behold politically that I've never seen any in my lifetime, and, you know, I've been around a little while. So that was really, really interesting. Now, as I see it, there was an exception to what I just said. And those surrounding the president, feeding him information about what's happening politically in the great state of Arizona are not serving him well, in my humble opinion. He is not paying close enough attention to the Senate race in the state of Arizona, as some of my good friends are doing, are as well, or I just flat disagree with them about what should be done about the Senate race in Arizona. They completely bypassed the primary process in Arizona. President Trump should keep his trap shut about which Republican to support until after the primary process is over. That is a strategic error, and it's a serious one. It's a horrible error. Martha McSally is facing a very formidable challenge from the right, from a real constitutional Republican businessman that supports Trump 100% without equivocation, which is something you cannot say about Martha McSally. McSally belongs in the Flake McCain category of Republican. Now, if that's what you like, that's what you're going to vote for. But I don't know anybody except maybe one or two people that think that those people were appropriate to represent us as a state and a state government. If you've heard Dan McCarthy speak, he's been on every radio show in the Valley every chance he gets. His staff is crack. You call or you email his media person, you get instant response. That is a true way to get elected. Unlike some of the other candidates that I supported in the past, who had the opposite Washington, we know better than anybody else type staffs. And what happened to them? They didn't get elected. Moving on. Rush Limbaugh got his wish. President Trump rallied in California. Absolutely genius. Absolutely critically genius. Strategically and otherwise. That will help the Republicans regain control of the House of Representatives for sure. There are 53 districts in California, and not all of them are flaming idiot leftists, We lost a lot of Republican districts in California in 2018. Trump rallying in California will help the cause of Republicans regain the House. In fact, there's an even long, long shot. If you're a betting person, you might want to go up to Vegas and put odds on California going for Trump. Because depending on how horribly bad the Democrats blow this process, they may lose California to Trump. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I'd say there's a 5 to 10% chance that happens on the outside. But, hey, go up there to Vegas and put $50 on it. You know, you might turn it into $1,000. So I think that was absolutely wonderful. And Rush was right on the money to ask him to do it last year. That was brilliant. These people on our side are really using their thinking caps, and I really appreciate some of the strategery going on in the Republican Party of late. And that is one good example of what I'm talking about. He should go back multiple times. That, if he can fit it into his schedule, that was just awesome. Now, back to the rally in Arizona. The significance of 25% of 2016 rally voters, our non-voters went to the rally. Now, 25% of the 38,000 or so people that went there didn't vote. Not only didn't vote for Trump, didn't vote for anybody, didn't give a damn enough to get out and vote for president. 25% of the people, these people that were at the rally didn't vote. That ought to make the Democrats quake in their boots. That is an earth-shattering fact in any political race, that the groundswell of support for this president is waking people the hell up. Glory be. That's a wonderful thing and very, very significant. And the media, as usual, missed that. All the geniuses on Fox News, you didn't hear them talking about this stuff. At least I didn't, because I haven't turned Fox News on in a month. I admit, okay? I can't listen to that crap anymore. I certainly can't listen to CNN or MSNBC. Maybe I should switch to NPR like my good friend James Copeland. But I don't want to fall asleep while I'm driving, folks. Anyhow. Moving on. We want to thank the micro-tyrant billionaire, Michael Bloomberg. Why do we want to thank him? We want to thank him for exposing the other candidates as the communists that they really are and standing up for capitalism. Once again, the media pundits missed this completely. Mr. Bloomberg was berated by every conservative commentator on cable and anywhere else, talk radio, you name it. They missed it. You know, I don't agree with any of Bloomberg's ideology. In fact, he's a moron when it comes to political ideology. But he's not a moron in other areas of his life. He made $64 billion somehow. So he's not a moron in that area, is he? Did you know he's an electrical engineer? He went to Johns Hopkins University and got a degree in electrical engineering. You know, that's kind of a complicated subject, and most people have to have a little bit of common sense to figure out how to do that. Our own Dave Giles is an electrical engineer as well. Okay? And then he went to Harvard and got an MBA. And then he proceeded to make $62 billion. He's also a pilot. I bet you didn't know that. And if you know any pilots, and I know quite a few of them, you know, it takes quite a little bit of brains and common sense to be a pilot. So do not underestimate Mini Mike, okay? And I'm not against calling him Mini Mike, the micro tyrant, the liberal fascist, Michael Bloomberg. He's not a communist, he's a fascist. Look it up. All right. Everybody says he got crushed. But guess what? You heard it here first on the Article 5 Hour. Michael Bloomberg is the next Democrat nominee for President of the United States. That is my prediction. I will stand by it. I dare you to argue with it. Now, if I am incorrect, the Democrat Party is finished for 40 years, which they may well be. So one of those two things are going to happen. Bloomberg is going to save the Democrats' face by injecting a little common sense into the crazycrats, okay? And Bernie, I got a new word for Bernie. He's not a communist. He's a con-unist. C-O-N. Because he's not authentic. He's as phony as the day is long. I'm J.D. Smailis, your host. This is the Article 5 Hour. We will be back after these very important messages from our sponsors with Mr. James Copeland. And I'm sure he's going to argue with me. Don't miss it. We'll be right back. Yeah, the music made Ted do it, and the politics makes me do this. Thanks for joining me and James today on the Article 5 Hour on this fine Sunday afternoon on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX, the best radio station in these great southwestern United States, and we're happy to be here, and we salute you and thank you for your listenership. Live radio without a net, especially political live radio without a net, is certainly scarce as hen's teeth here in the valley on Sunday afternoon. So thanks for joining us, and we appreciate and thank you for your listenership. Now, we went over quite a few things in the first segment. Just a very quick recap. You know, Trump rally, his speech was phenomenal. And I, as you know, I don't approve of the endorsement of Martha McSally prior to the primary process here in the state of Arizona. I think that's a strategic error that should have been and could have been avoided. Rush got his wish. Trump rallying in California is absolutely genius. Very significant. One quarter of the people attending Trump's rally in Phoenix didn't even vote in 2016. That would scare the crap out of the Democrats. And the little micro-tyrant billionaire Michael Bloomberg is only a moron when it comes to political policy. He's very brilliant in many ways, and he also is just getting started. The media thinks he's finished. He's going to end up being the nominee if the Democrat Party wishes to survive and have any significance for the next couple of generations. These are the things that I covered at the beginning, and my great friend and good guest, Mr. James Copeland, with 50 years of political experience and debate, is here to debate me on these things. Hi, James. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for inviting me. Mike Bloomberg will not be the Democratic nominee. If you had watched Fox News today, which I know that you don't like to do, you would have heard what the Democratic's plan is going to be. Jane Wilson, former Santa Monica congresswoman, then she becomes head of a huge think tank in Washington. A real Washington insider let something slip today when your friend Chris Wallace asked her kind of an innocuous question. He says, Jane, do you think Bernie's now the front runner? And Jane says, well, he won three small primaries. We still have Super Tuesday to go. And Chris pressed her. Well, now, Colin, do you think Bernie can be the nominee? And Jane says, well, you know, he has a lot of supporters that are young and they don't vote. But now, come on, Jane. Bernie's the front runner and he probably will be the nominee, right? And Jane let the feline escape the burlap. The cat is out of the bag. She says, well, people are talking about how we've got to have a really balanced ticket. What does that mean? It means probably they'll have to swallow Bernie even though they don't like it. But they're already plotting to have a balanced ticket. Perhaps Michelle Maybelle Obama as VP nominee, and then Barack can be UN ambassador, perhaps, or Secretary of State. She didn't say that. This is all my supposition, reading between the lines. Or perhaps Duval Patrick, a person of color. Stacey Abrams, a twofer, a woman and a person of color. In other words, they want the same old Democratic thing, and they think they can't screw Bernie this time like they did last time, but they can get around him with some clever maneuvering. As far as they're concerned, I believe, as to Bloomberg's disastrous debate, they think that he's yesterday's news, and they don't want a Republican to be their nominee. They'll take the socialist.
Well, that's a very interesting point of view, and I can go down the bullet points of where I think that's incorrect, but I'm not going to torture the audience with such banter. Go to Fox News for that crap. But what I'm going to say, one thing about that is, you can't ignore the money. Bloomberg has enough money to buy all the phony asses in the Democrat side off, like he has all of his life. Every time he's a misogynist or he does, makes this racial comment or that, he just buys them off. And he'll do the same thing. He'll just up the ante a little bit. Everybody has their price, especially on the Democrat side. So I don't think he has as much of a problem with the non-diversity, and he can also, you know, he can have a VP of a person of color if he likes. And I believe that the money, not just the Bloomberg money, the other aspect of that is the money backing the Democrats are not going to go for communism. He made excellent points. He shot Bernie in the foot. He made the point about his three mansions. That is going to ring true with people. He also said that we're not going to throw out capitalism because we already tried it, and plus other countries have done that, and it's called communism. He was 100% right about that, and it's going to take the moderate Democrats within the party, and their ears is going to start perking up. That's the only argument I have to go against what you just said. Now, these people might think they know everything that are on Fox News, but I've proved them wrong many times, so...
Okay, I get your argument, and I don't accept it, and I don't accept it for this reason. I agree that Michael Bloomberg, if you let him have long enough and spend enough, can win an American election with the people voting. Television is that powerful. However, he can't get the nomination anymore. His performance was disastrous. He's an ex-Republican. He doesn't have any support in the African-American community because of all the things he did in New York. He doesn't have anything support in the women's community because of all these lawsuits and everything, a la Trump. And this is the most important thing. There's no way, since he started late, he'll have enough delegates on the first ballot to win the nomination. And on the second ballot, it's all of the super delegates, the Democratic insiders, that will go and make this deal with Bernie, who's the leading candidate.
That's very interesting commentary, and we shall see who is correct on that, my friend. And I will tell you, you present a wonderful argument, and I believe that it's the backers of the Democrat Party that's not going to put up with communism. I don't see, they want their Wall Street. Reason Hillary got the nomination is because she would have made the enriched Wall Street just like Barack Obama did, funneling all that quantitative easing money into the markets. And Bloomberg will do the same thing. And Bernie will not do that. So you know, it'll be interesting to see. But we have so many subjects. One more comment on this.
One more comment. The Democrats, if Bernie does well in Super Tuesday and has a large lead, or he is clearly the front runner, they know that if they screw him a second time in the row, all of those people that are so devoted to him won't come and vote in December, and whatever candidate they run, Donald J. Trump will be reelected, which is their worst nightmare.
Well, and we end this discussion on agreement, because I agree with that statement 100%. I just believe they're not going to allow that to happen to their party, because it means a disaster for them for the next two. If Bernie gets a nomination, the Democrats are done for 40 or 50 years. Anyway, let's move on to your next challenge to my theories.
Well, on the debate front, I want to describe each of the Democratic candidates in one word.
Okay.
The ayes have it. Sanders irascible. Biden, inarticulate. Warren, irritating. Buttigieg, improbable and immature.
And irrelevant.
No. The one that's irrelevant is Steyer.
Oh, yeah.
And Klobuchar is incandescent but hollow. And Bloomberg is implausible after his disaster.
I disagree that his debate was a disaster. I'll tell you why. Because he's just getting started, and he's the only one that exhibited a modicum of common sense on that stage. He was the only adult on that stage.
The Democrats are not looking for common sense. Mike Bloomberg says he is the best manager for the American government. The Democrats don't want a manager. They want a radical savior. They want McGovern. They want Mondale. They want Bernie.
That may be true, but I think Bloomberg is, the money is going to talk and the BS is going to walk. Let's move on to the next, well, actually, we only have about a minute left in this subject. Any further pearls of wisdom for us, James?
I just think that it's going to be very, very interesting. I believe Biden will squeak through in South Carolina and keep going on. And Klobuchar shows that she's not going to get out yet. And I think this is going to clog up the middle range and make Bernie even stronger.
All right, there you go. He thinks it's Bernie. I think it's Bloomberg. And we'll be back with much more of this and other things right here on the Article 5 Hour, right after the news. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You heard it all before, but I'm going to say it again. Time is running out. The means justifies the end. Everybody knows you got to make your stand. I'm going for the throat, 'cause I wanna be your man. You didn't see me coming, I was riding to pay your whore. There was too much thunder and lightning, the revolution is right on.
The revolution is right on course, Ted. The only question is, which revolution? Is it the French Revolution or the American Revolution 2.0? And we're here to help you decide which one do you think is true. My guest is James Copeland. He needs no introduction, but let me just say, his 24 years experience with debate, presidential debate for the Associated Press under his belt. Not to mention, he's been a teacher, and he's the author of 8 books, and his credentials are as long as my arm. But he's certainly qualified to argue with me on these subjects, and we're still in an argument on the break about this Bloomberg thing. And I got to tell you, Michael Bloomberg is the only Democrat that Donald Trump does not want to debate, because Bloomberg's a New Yorker, and he has a modicum of common sense, and he can probably speak better than Donald Trump. So, you know, he could give Trump some trouble. I'm not saying he could win, but Bernie will cause the Democrat Party to go down in ashes. What say you, James Copeland? Final comments on the Bloomberg issue.
I agree that if Bernie is nominated, he will lose, but the Democrats are in a jackpot here. If they don't nominate him and he's got the most primary wins and the most delegates going into the convention, they have double-crossed him twice in 8 years, and none of his followers will vote for whoever the nominee is. And there aren't that many votes that they can get. I mean, for example, I agree that if Bernie is nominated, he won't win Virginia. He won't win Minnesota. He won't win a lot of these sensible states with suburban people that will swing the election. However, the Democratic Party cannot double-cross a front-runner that goes into the convention. What they want to do is not to double-cross themselves. They want to dilute him by the running mate kind of ploy to kind of balance the ticket.
I would equate Bernie with the McGovern, like you would probably. If you had to go back in history and find the closest thing you could match him up with, you have to get Bernie and McGovern match up, and Biden and Humphrey matches up. The outsider here is Bloomberg. He could put a monkey wrench into the theory that history repeats itself here.
Ah, the key word was could have. Actually, that's two words, could have. He could have, and he didn't. In the first debate, the first big exposure on the main stage with all the other candidates, he was eaten up by them. He was physically unattractive. Remember what happened to Nixon in the first candidate debate.
That's a good point.
He was poorly spoken. He was argumentative with Elizabeth Warren, which made her look good and him look bad.
Yeah, he did fail there, but he was good with Bernie. He put Bernie in the dirt.
Well, that may be, but this is the situation. When Franklin Roosevelt formed the Democratic Party in 1932, it was based on constituencies. You have your blacks, you had your Italians, your Irish immigrants, you had the farmers, you had the factory workers. This was the Democratic Party, and of course the Republican Party were country club Republicans. They were like John Boehner. Now what has happened here is that the interest groups grew stronger over the years, and now we have the black caucus, we have the gay caucus, we have the trans caucus, we have every other caucus, and what has happened is that Bloomberg has shot his foot with his insensitivity to these interest groups, particularly blacks and women. And therefore, once upon a time, before Bloomberg got on the stage, the key thing the Democrats wanted to do was beat Trump. Now they've seen Bloomberg double-cross all of their constituencies. Now they're looking for a way out.
Well, that's all points good, but I would just add this little bit of color to that commentary, and this is the way I see it. Bloomberg has gotten all that up front at the start of his exposure. He has months to, overcome that. It's not like this comes out as an October surprise, for instance, you know, in the case that he would win the nomination. He's getting it out now so that he can counter it. And as he gets better at that sort of thing, because he will adapt and change as he moves along, he may go ahead and put all that to rest. Because don't forget, if you listen to Democrats, they can change their opinion in a day about somebody just by they make one comment. So I realize the history would point in favor of your argument for Bernie, but lest I remind you, Donald J. Trump changed the face of politics for both parties completely in 2016. So the old rules don't necessarily apply that like they used to.
I think the old rules apply to Bloomberg because Bloomberg...
He's 78?
No, he played by the old rules. He made a terrible mistake. When Donald Trump came down the escalator, he had almost a year to convince the American people that he should be president. Bloomberg decided...
Well, his timing is off.
That's right. And what happened was, because he started so late, he had to build name recognition and acceptability, and he did it by spending a lot of money.
Yeah, but...
And look at what those candidates did to him in the debate. They said, you are trying to buy the presidency. Now, that was...
And he called them all communists, which they are. And I thought that was a great retort.
Well, how do you get the nomination by calling all of the favorites of the Democratic Party on the stage
communists? Well, let me tell you why I think that's an okay strategy for Bloomberg. And it's because the media, who is doing all the covering of all this and affecting everybody's mindset about how these candidates are doing, are far left of the main swath of Democrats. And the media are much more lefties than most Democrats are.
And turn on your TV. You need to go back to being a television watcher. People on the air, like Don Lemon, like Van Jones, like Morning Joe, on all of your favorite channels, have been savaging Bloomberg all week.
They've been savaging Bernie as well, though.
No, they haven't been. They're grudgingly respectful of Bernie and the great youth vote he's brought out and his ideas on social justice and so on and medical care for all is a right. But what they're doing is they're saying the same. They said, the people on the left said, The Russians had no business giving Trump the first election. Now they're saying Bloomberg's trying to win the second election. These people are very sensitive. Their radar is up on the media, and they don't see that a GOP millionaire from New York is their answer to their problems. If Bernie is rancid butter, at least he's on their side of the bread.
Well, here's the thing, Jim. Biden was the intended nominee.
And what a dud that was.
Biden went down in flames. Now, Bloomberg is the backup plan because they don't want Bernie.
Bloomberg was never the backup plan. Obama's backup plan was Deval Patrick, who never took off because he got in too late and Obama sat on his hands too late.
Well, I got to say, though, nobody even knows who Deval Patrick is.
That's correct. The horse has left the barn. Bernie has had 4 years of running for president. Everything is known about him. There's no major scandals about him that'll put him out of the race, like Bloomberg with Stop and Frisk.
How about how he routes all of the commissions on his ad sales through his family to enrich himself? That's not a scandal. That should be. Why are people talking about that? Because that's what's happening, and he also destroyed a university and pocketed cash from that too. This is their wonderful communist savior on the left. Listen, I just don't see the Democrats putting up with Bernie, but I know you disagree. We're here with James Copeland on the Article 5 Hour, having a lively discussion about the Democrats' folly. We'll be right back after these important messages from our sponsors. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Article 5 Hour. I'm here in studio with Mr. James Copeland, having a very lively discussion on what we think is best strategy to beat the Democrats in the upcoming critical election for our country. And we have some disagreement, but we agree on one thing for sure, is whatever it takes, we need to reinstall Donald J. Trump into the White House, and we need to keep the Senate and win the House to avoid any more of this illegal, treasonous conduct happening on the left in Washington, D.C. It reminds me of the Roman, the picture of the Roman senator being replaced by a horse. I mean, you know, we'd be better off with that in the Senate than some of the crap we have now.
Well, I think the Democrats' replacement would probably be the rear end of the horse.
Yeah, well, they're all a bunch of horses' rear ends, if you ask me, with very few exceptions, including on the Republican side in a lot of cases. So anyway, we don't really want to belabor this Bloomberg thing. We were talking about what I consider to be a strategic error by the president in picking a candidate for Senate prior to our own selection process in the state of Arizona. He made this error in, what was it, the state of Georgia before. He picked the wrong candidate there. That candidate lost. He had egg all over his face. The same thing's going to happen here in Arizona. He's picking Martha McSally. She's going to lose to the astronaut. James does not believe that, or he believes that McSally has the best chance to beat Mark Kelly, and I just remember that Arizona rejected Martha McSally by electing a communist in her stead. So I don't see how that's going to happen, but go ahead, James.
I think the difference here is the different kind of election. Martha McSally lost an off-year election when the president was not on the ticket.
Fair point.
When Trump is on the ticket, he carries a lot of people with him, and notice that in 2016, not only did nobody think he would win the presidency, nobody ever thought he'd win the House. And he won the House, and he won it big. Now, elections have consequences, and candidates have coattails. I do not think a socialist, Bernie, who will be the Democratic nominee, will have many coattails. most people are not turned on to his particular brand of politics. He has many fierce defenders that can get him through the Democratic primaries, but suburban America does not want socialism.
You made my point that I was making earlier. That's why the money behind the Democrat Party will not allow him to be the nominee.
The Democrat money cannot stop him under the rules of the convention.
Oh, since when do Democrats even follow their own rules? What do you think superdelegates are all about?
The superdelegates exist so that the sachems of the party can control the party.
Right, and not elect a communist like Bernie, who can't possibly win. It's like Chris Matthews is quoted as saying, if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, they lose 49 states. Now, I didn't say that. Chris Matthews, your buddy, said that.
Well, it is true that I know Chris Matthews, but I think that the point...
You're supposed to say touche, J.D.
No. The Democrats began this election saying that our goal is to elect Donald J. To defeat Donald J. Trump. But they somehow have wandered away from that goal, and now what has happened is the radical left of the party and the interest groups are more interested in getting a diversity candidate as the nominee, a la McGovern, than they are of defeating Donald
Trump. That's punditry pablum, if you ask me. I think money talks and BS walks, and the money behind the Democrats are not going to allow Bernie to be the nominee. That's my opinion. And I've told you why I think that, and you've eloquently stated why you think what you think. And I think we're in a disagreement that's not going to be solved here in the limited time we have left on this program. But you will be back next week. We will talk about this stuff again, and we'll have more information to throw back and forth at each other at that time, sir.
Our disagreement will be settled by Super Tuesday.
Which is?
All of these big primaries.
No. When is Super Tuesday? The audience.
I think it's in the middle of March. I think it's the second weekend in March.
All right, which brings me to some programming notes that I have to tell you, my faithful and wonderful audience. This is the second to the last Article 5 hour at this time slot. I'm still in final negotiations with the radio station with my contract, but it appears that we will be moving the show to Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Many people think that's a great idea. Many people think it's a horrible idea, including my good friend James Copeland is into the latter thought about that. But I will tell you this. All the digital media, including the new podcast that's going to come out within weeks of that, you will still be able to listen to the Article 5 Hour on demand and in four or five different ways in the multicast. If you want to catch me live, though, you got to get up early on Saturday morning, starting March the 7th, I believe. March 8th. That will be, it's 7th is the Saturday. That's correct. That's March 7th at 7 a.m. So we'll be, most likely that's what's going to happen. I will have confirmation of that by next Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., which I will be here on March 1st, and so will James. We will do more of this sort of thing. Now, what I want you to do in the meantime, you can call the radio station at 602-277-1100. That's 602-277-1100. Let the management of this radio station know that you want to keep the Article 5 Hour on the air. So they know that this show is important to you. It's important that you do that. I don't ask much of you except your listenership, but I would ask you to do that for me. Call the radio station. Let them know you value this broadcast and you want to continue it on this airway, on the fifth largest AM radio market on planet Earth. And we're happy to be here and honored and humbled by your attention and your listenership, especially if you follow me to my new time slot, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Saturdays, starting March 7th. Now, I want to remind you that Arizona is now blue. We want to change it back to red. You already know that I believe Daniel McCarthy should be installed as our Republican nominee for Senate rather than Martha McSally. You know my good friend James Copeland disagrees with that. We'll talk about that more later. But also, you got to remember Dave Giles for Congress. Dave Giles needs to take District 9 from Sanctuary Stanton, the former mayor of Phoenix. Okay? Now, in order to do that, Dave needs your support because the Arizona GOP is not supporting Dave. Although Dave, now I don't know that they're officially not supporting him. I just know that in the past, they've kicked him to the side to put phony carpetbaggers in his stead who lost miserably to Stanton. That happened. So I don't really know. I don't have the insider track with the Arizona GOP because I choose not to deal with those people at this point in time because I'm on the air and I could, you know, I want to be independent with my voice. But what I will say is Dave ran an election against Kyrsten Sinema and garnered 110,000 votes against her, which is a grand total more than the other two candidates in the last time around combined. By about 20,000. So he is known and well loved in District 9. So you want to support Dave Giles and get rid of Sanctuary Stanton out of District 9. Go to secure.winred.com/Dave Giles/JD. That's secure.winred.com/Dave Giles/JD or bit.ly/3A capital Z SXI capital W. Those are on the website, article5hour.com. May God continue to bless you and your family in the United States of America and our president. I'll be back next week with the final Sunday afternoon edition of the best hour in radio, the Article 5 Hour. Until then, let's keep making America great again. I'm coming home, honey.